Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. Living a life listening to God will take you on an adventure that you never thought you could have. It will ruin you for the ordinary. This morning I've entitled my sermon, Ruined for the Ordinary, because I believe that God wants to ruin us for the ordinary, mundane, boring life that a lot of us live. According to Psychology Today, roughly between 30 and 90% of adults are bored with a large portion of their lives. And according to another study done by the New York Post, the average adult roughly has about 131 days of their year-long, or every year, about 131 days, that they are just absolutely bored with what they're doing in life. And so a lot of people are bored and tired of just the day-to-day grind of things. And I believe that the Lord God wants to ruin us for the ordinary. Life, living on mission, listening to the Lord should not be boring and mundane. This past Thursday, late afternoon, I went to the store just before supper, and I picked up the things that I needed to get, and I got to the checkout, and as I was paying, I was not intending to do this. The thought went through my mind, I want you to ask him how his sister is doing and tell him that his sister's okay. And I was like, oh my. My stomach started to turn. I got sweaty palms. I was like, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. He's like, hey, you want to live a life on mission, here's your opportunity. And so I paid for my, paid for what I was getting, and I got the receipt, and I start to walk out the door. And as I walk out the door, I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. So I turn, and I'm like, hey man, I'm a Christian, and I have a relationship with the Lord. Or I didn't say with the Lord, I said with God. And I have a relationship with him, and I talk with him, and I believe he talks to me. And I believe that he wants to share something with you today. And I just feel like he would say to you today, I just want you to let you know that your sister is okay, and that he loves her, and he cares deeply about her. And he kind of, behind his mask, I could tell that he was smiling and his eyes lit up a little bit. And I was like, does that make sense to you? Does that encourage you at all? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. He said, my sister actually lives in India and she's married to a man there. And I'm actually quite close with her, but I worry about her all the time. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So I just reaffirmed, I just said, hey, you know what? I feel like just the Lord wants to encourage you today that he loves your sister deeply, he cares about her, and not only that, but he loves you, and he cares deeply about you, and I just want you to be encouraged today. And that was it. I walked out, and I went home and told Becky about the story, and I was just on cloud nine. I was like, wow, I just got to encourage like a total stranger, and I felt like the Lord shared a relevant message with me for this gentleman. And I was just on cloud nine, and the rest of the evening, I just kept on praying for this gentleman, and just that he would be drawn to Jesus through this experience, and that the Holy Spirit, whatever happens from here on out, that the Holy Spirit would continue to draw him to Jesus. God wants to ruin us for the ordinary. If you look on our website, you'll notice that Cochrane Alliance exists to connect people to Jesus so that the world thrives. Cochrane Alliance Church exists, us in this room, we exist to connect people to Jesus so that our world thrives. And what we desire or envision for the future is we envision a thriving town shaped by thousands of people experiencing the transforming love of God. Amen? Can we all agree on that? Absolutely. And how do we do this? Well, we have seven values or seven ways that we desire to do this, to carry out our vision. And two of them, the first one is we are locally focused. We love Cochrane in the name of Jesus, and we want to see Cochrane thriving. We want to see people in Cochrane come to know and experiencing the transforming love of Jesus Christ. And so, a couple things that we do. We have strategic partnerships through our town, and we partner with them to see people thrive in Cochrane and see people connected to the love of Jesus. Another thing that we do is, a lot of you will know, every fall we have a pancake breakfast. And we invite people from our community to onto our property, onto our parking lot, and we want to serve them food and build relationship with people. And there are probably some of you in here today who have come to know Jesus through the pancake breakfast or because of a relationship from the pancake breakfast. Another thing that we do is that we Donna and her team partner with the Baptist Church to do backyard kids camps. And we take a week in the summer to go into the communities and run day camps for children all over Cochrane. And I know that there are individuals in this room today that are here and know Jesus and have experienced the life transformation that comes from Jesus because of the backyard kids camps. Isn't that incredible? Amen. And so, not only are we locally focused, but we are also globally minded. That's another value that we have. We love the nations, and we want the nations to have access to Jesus. And so, not only do we want to be on mission right here, but we want to see some people in this room leave Cochrane and never return. We want people here from our church to go to a nation in the world because they have this burning desire in their heart to connect people to Jesus outside of Cochrane, outside of Canada, and in another nation in our world. And so Cochrane Alliance is a part of a family of churches called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And we have a fund called the Global Advance Fund. And we give money to this fund in order that people can go to the nations, that they can connect people with Jesus all over the world. And so we desire to be a church on mission all the time in everything that we do. We are looking for ways that we can connect people to Jesus. We envision thousands of people coming to know Jesus in Cochrane, and that would be a part of the family of God. Last week, Mike shared a story of him traveling on a missions trip to Belize. And on this trip, he was praying with the Lord, and he felt like the Lord said, "Mike, I want you to change the world. I want you to make a difference in this world." And I believe that the number one way that we can make a difference in this world is by living intentional lives with the Holy Spirit. Listening to Jesus intentionally. Listening to his voice on mission. I want to take a look at Acts chapter 16. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And so just to set it up, Timothy had just joined Paul and Silas, on a missionary journey. If you read the book of Acts, you'll notice that Paul goes on, well, some believe he went on 4 missionary journeys, some believe he went on 3 missionary journeys. However, in Acts chapter 16, he's on his second missionary journey. And Timothy has just joined the team, and they are going throughout the world preaching and teaching and seeing thousands of people come to know Jesus. And so we'll pick it up in verse 5, and then we'll continue on 6 through 10. So verse 5 says, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." Continuing on, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Today I want to make 3 observations from this portion of Scripture. And the first observation that I want to make is that we are filled, or Paul in this instance, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul and his team have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 6 that Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. It has been said that the main character of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Acts through, you will notice that time after time after time after time, the Holy Spirit is referenced in regards to what takes place in the book. G.W. Grogan says this, the Holy Spirit figures so largely in Acts that the title may as well be expanded to read, "The Acts of the Risen Christ by the Holy Spirit through the Apostles." The Holy Spirit has been poured out on us as believers to empower us on this mission. We are not alone in this mission. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, living inside of us. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Cochrane Alliance, we are people of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ living in us, guiding us, directing us, impressing things on our hearts and showing us different things. We've been given the Spirit of Jesus so that we are not alone on this mission. Romans 8 verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." Paul and Silas, along with Timothy, could be stopped by the Holy Spirit because they had the Holy Spirit living inside of them and they were in tune to what the Spirit of God was doing and saying. Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will dwell with them and in them. We are not alone on this mission. How are we going to see thousands of people come to know the loving nature of Jesus Christ It will happen because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, encountering the people around us. And He will be drawing, the Holy Spirit will be drawing people to Jesus. The second thing I want to look at this morning from this text that we can notice is that there is Holy Spirit guidance. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, He empowers us, and He also guides us. Paul lived with one goal in mind: to spread the good news of Jesus, to tell the world what Jesus had done for him. He was a man possessed by the Spirit of God, wanting to do only one thing, and that was, Jesus is amazing. Jesus has come to the earth to die for you, to give you life. He was a man possessed by the Spirit of God. However, Paul was attentive to the Spirit of God and what he was doing. Commentator F.F. Bruce, he points out, he says, the missionary journeys of Paul exhibit an extraordinary combination of strategic planning and a key sensitiveness to the guidance of the Spirit of God. Whether that guidance took the form of inward prompting or the overruling of external circumstances. In these four verses, this one paragraph that we just read, we are bombarded with the reality that the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading Paul, Silas, and Timothy. He is the one who is prompting Paul to do certain things. He is the one who is opening doors. He is the one who is closing doors. It is the Holy Spirit working in them. Paul had great plans. Paul had big plans. He had strategic plans. He said, we are going to go, we're going to go here because that is an important city. We're going to go here because that's a port city where ships come in and out. There's lots of people there. That would be a great place to plant a church. I think we'll go on to Ephesus because that's an incredible city there too. If the gospel takes off there, I mean, who knows what could happen. Okay, so this is what's happening in Paul's mind. He's strategically planning where he's going to go, but the Holy Spirit forbid him to go there initially. He ends up going later on. But initially, the Holy Spirit says, no, Paul, I don't want you to go there. Strategic planning is awesome. Strategic planning is great. I actually love sitting in a room and strategically saying, all right, we could do this over here. We could do some of these things here. We could do all these things. But the Holy Spirit has to be on it. There's a lot of good things that we could do, but my question is, are they God things? Would it have been bad for Paul and his team to preach the gospel in Asia? I don't think so. I think it would have been a great thing. Would it have been bad for Paul to plant some churches in Bithynia? No, it would have been great. However, it was not the right time. And the reason why I know that is because the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go there. Listening to God on mission is like knowing where the treasure is hidden. Listening to God on mission is like knowing where the treasure is hidden. Paul's sensitivity to the Spirit led to the conversion of a woman named Lydia. If you go on to chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, you will notice a story of a woman named Lydia. And the Spirit actually led them to an area, and they met this lady named Lydia. And her family gave their lives to Jesus and were baptized. Listening to God on mission is like knowing where the treasure is hidden. In 2011, I had a job as a groundskeeper working at Bow River's Edge Campground. Shout out to Bow River's Edge Campground in Cochrane. Come on, somebody. And one day I was standing in the office. I might have been eating my lunch, I can't remember. But this lady walks through the door and she's on the phone and she is weeping. She's crying, she can't keep it together. And me and the girl who were in the office together, we're kind of overhearing what's going on. And what had taken place was this lady's boyfriend of just over 12 years had died of cancer. And she had a son from another relationship, and her boyfriend had been like a father to her son. And so this was a very difficult time for her. She was beside herself, and she got off the phone, and I just had this little prompting in me to walk over to her and say, "Hey, do you mind if I just spend a minute or two with you in prayer?" And she said, "Yeah, absolutely, I'd love that." And so I spent a couple minutes in prayer with her, and the Spirit of God just came and rested upon her. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comforted her in that moment. And the peace of Jesus rested upon her. And she said, "Hey, would you mind coming back to my camper? My son is there, and I would love for you to pray with him as well." And so I went over and prayed with her son as well. And that was about it. And a couple days later, I ran into her again. And she said, "Hey, you know, like, we would just love to get to know, we would like to be closer to God, and how could we do that?" And I spent a couple minutes with her just in conversation, and then the next day I brought a Bible to her and some CDs of worship music. And I remember her son saying, "Wow, I can't believe, like, this is Christian music. Like, this is actually pretty good." And he was into, like, metal and all this type of music. And so over the next couple weeks, I just got to minister to them in a campground. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't anyone special. I was just on mission with God. And living on mission with God will ruin you for the ordinary. This all took place over a couple weeks, and it all began with a little prompting to pray for a lady who was in distress. John 15:26 says this. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples. He said, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." The Holy Spirit inside of us will draw people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit in us, working through us, will draw people to Jesus. Because we have the Spirit inside of us, the Spirit of Jesus, wherever we go, whatever room we walk into, we are a walking encounter. Whoever we come in contact with, there's a potential to be connected to Jesus. The Holy Spirit inside of us wants to draw and encounter the individual, draw them to Jesus. So wherever you go today, Cochrane Alliance Church, you are a walking encounter, because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, lives in you. I heard a pastor once say, he said, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And from that point on, he wants to do nothing but get out of you. Meaning, he wants to encounter people around you through you. Are you living with the intention to connect people to Jesus? Cochrane Alliance Church, we exist to connect people to Jesus. That is the number one reason why we exist, to connect people to the living, moving, breathing God, the one who is like no other. There's a saying in our day and age, it's 2021, you do you. Has anyone ever heard this? You do you. Anyone? Come on. Okay, you do you. If you don't understand what that means, it pretty much means what it means or what it's saying. Like, hey, it's 2021. I'm not going to judge you. You just do you. You just do whatever you want. I don't agree with this saying. Sometimes my wife and I say it to joke around back and forth to each other. But I don't really agree with this. I'm asking myself these questions in these days, and I want to ask you these questions as well. Are you listening to God, or are you just doing you? Are you living a life intentional, on mission with God, or are you just doing whatever you want to do? Third observation I want to look at from this portion of Scripture, and that is, I've entitled it, The Holy Spirit Journey. Acts 16:6 says, "And they went through a region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak a word in Asia." Paul and Silas and Timothy were on a journey. They had a plan. They wanted to accomplish great things for God. They were intentional as they went on mission. Even though Paul had mapped out, hey, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, we're going to plant a church here, we're going to encourage the church there. They were open on this journey that they were on. They were open to the moving of the Holy Spirit within their plans. My question for you today is, what journey are you on? What does your day look like? What do your days look like? What do your weeks look like? Do you have your antennas up to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you go to a mom's group on a weekly basis. Maybe you work in customer service. Maybe you're asking God for life direction. Maybe you golf, not right now, but in the summer times, maybe you golf with a group of people regularly. Maybe you have daughters or a daughter or a son in a dance class. These are all areas of our lives that we are on a journey. These are all areas of our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to be moving in, where He is moving in. He is guiding, He is leading, and He is wanting to draw people to Him in these areas. While you're on the golf course, shooting the worst round of your life, the Holy Spirit wants to draw people to Jesus. How are we going to see thousands of people, thousands, okay? How are we going to see thousands of people encounter the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ if it has to happen in these four walls, in this room right here? It's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. We have to be on mission with God. The only way that people are going to encounter Jesus through us is if it's during the week, in our workplaces, at our schools, at our grocery stores, at our dance classes, at campgrounds, at parks, while you're playing with your kids. That's the only way we're going to see thousands of people transformed and connected to Jesus so that our world thrives. So, all right, three things. We must be a church open to the Spirit in our planning and in our day. Begin every day by asking God, how can I partner with you today? How can I partner with what you're already doing in the lives of people in Cochrane? How do you want me to be a part of what you're already doing? Sometimes we're just going to get to sow seeds. Sometimes we are going to have to till soil, till the rough ground. And sometimes we are going to get the honor and the privilege of being with people as they give their lives to Jesus. Number two, be open to a change of plans. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that if we're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit, he's always going to be changing plans. God is okay with plans as well. He's in plans. He's in strategic planning. However, we need to be open to the promptings and movings of the Spirit in our day. Listen, inconveniences can turn into the most incredible God moments, and they will ruin you for the ordinary. Those inconvenient things in our days that we get ticked off at, myself included, my wife can attest to that, we get ticked off at these inconveniences, we get irritated. These can be the most incredible God moments where we get a chance to see what God is doing. We must have an attitude of, Lord, this is what we feel like you're doing. This is how we feel you're moving us. But we want to hold these plans openly so that you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. And then third, be open to different ways in which God might be speaking to you. Throughout these four verses, Luke, the author, uses three different wordings for how God spoke. The first one was, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. The second one was, the Spirit of Jesus kept them from moving forward with their plans. And then lastly, after the vision we see at the end, it says that we concluded that God had called us to preach. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of Jesus, and you have God. And commentators believe that the reason why Luke used these three different wordings was because that was probably God speaking and moving in three different ways. And we're not exactly sure how the Holy Spirit moved and worked in these ways, but some were probably prophetic words or a message from a church leader in the area, or we see God spoke in a vision to Paul, or it could have been just circumstances that they attributed to the Holy Spirit. You know, the road was blocked that day, or there was bad weather, or whatever. Whatever it was, they attributed it to the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, or God. And so be open to different ways in which God might be speaking to you. So, how might God speak to you while you're on mission? Well, he might inspire something while you're reading the Word. He might speak a word to you through the Bible. He might speak through a mentor. He might speak through your own thoughts. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. He also might speak through a friend, or he might speak through random events that are not so random. When Becky and I were living in Calgary, we love to go downtown Calgary and check out different coffee shops, and we love to just look at different buildings and walk around. And there was a season of about a couple months, I want to say. And in these couple months, we went downtown Calgary, 17th Ave, all over, and we ran into one of her friends who was an unbeliever, didn't know Jesus. We ran into her three times in like I said, maybe three months. It was just like, we kept on running into her. You know, you're in a city of 1.5 million people, and we weren't in close contact with her. We weren't planning to meet up with her, but we ran into this girl three times. And the third time, I'm like, we're standing there talking in Chinook Mall, and Becky and this girl are chatting, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, Lord, we've ran into this girl three times. Like, this is not a coincidence. And so I just said, what are you doing in this moment? What are you saying? And I didn't really feel like there was any big specific thing. So I just at the end of the nearing the end of the conversation, I just said, hey, look, I just want you to know that God loves you. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through right now. And it wasn't much more than that. And to be perfectly honest with you, there wasn't this bit. She didn't drop to her knees and give her life to Jesus in that moment. But like I said prior, there, some of us are going to plant seeds. Some of us are going to till the soil. Some of us are going to water the soil. And some of us are going to get to see people give their lives to Jesus. But it's just being attentive to what is the Spirit of God doing. You know, random events might not be so random. And so just pay attention to those. He might be speaking through a closed door or an open door. He might be speaking through a dream. And as we've seen in Acts chapter 16, he might speak through a vision, like he spoke to Paul. When we are on a mission, when we are on a journey with God, you never know what might happen. It's an incredible journey. Are we going to be a church? Are we going to be a people who are attentive to the Spirit of God? One that listens to his voice. So, I've encouraged us this morning. I hope I've encouraged us this morning to be a church listening to God on mission. But I want to ask this one final question. Why listen to Jesus on mission? Why? I mean, obviously we want to connect people to Jesus. Why are we on a church on mission? Because God is a God who is beckoning all who might call on his name. He is drawing people to him. God is a God on mission. Jesus himself was obedient to the Father. Jesus came to earth. He gave up his life so that all humankind might come to know him, that we all might be in relationship with Jesus. So in turn, we listen to Jesus. We do the same because it points to Jesus. It points to how beautiful Jesus is. It points to his goodness. God is a God who, some writers have said, is a reckless God for going after people, for going after his people and fighting for them and for dying for them because he loves his creation so much. God is a God on mission. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone would perish, but that all would come to repentance." That is why we are a church on mission. Jesus is also the leader and head of our church. Listening, Jesus is the one who said, he said his very own words, "I will build my church." Jesus, listening to Jesus on mission is partnering with him in building his church. And so this week, I exhort you, I encourage you, I ask you that you would pray this one prayer every day when you wake up. And it's this: Holy Spirit, I honor you. The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, I honor you. Please guide me today. Lead me to the people you have for me to encounter. Let me be a walking encounter wherever I go.